Welcome to worship at Advent. As we share the Decalogue in just a moment, think of it as sort of like the covenant reenactment or recommissioning in the Old Testament, where the people of God said, this is what we'll do, and God says, this is what I want you to do, and then back and forth. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Please join with me. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from the ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission for all of your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
As a show of gratitude and trust, we offer to God the beginning of our harvest, our first fruits, knowing that we would have nothing without God's gracious love and that He will provide sufficiently for us. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 91, which can be found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet.
Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him.
I will protect him because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and
to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
God draws all sorts of people in all sorts of ways to the foot of the cross and to salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Whether by word or by deed, all glory is to God. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' or 'Who will descend into the deep?' But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. I'm reading from chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus in the wilderness. And for me, this is important in a couple of different ways. One, it's really a validation of his earthly ministry in that even from the fierce attacks of the enemy before his ministry begins, he doesn't yield to the devil. And secondly, it's a reminder that even though there are attacks in our life, we can also overcome them. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, it shall all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, but for my sake, please try to stay awake. After all, you've lost an hour of sleep. So this morning, I want to speak to you about Psalm 91, and I want to focus especially on the first three verses. Toward the end of our reading, it refers to, "Because you've called on the name of the Lord, then I will protect you," and that's the theme I want to look at. You know, we experience different challenges in our lives in many different ways, friendships, health, work. Earlier this week, toward the end of the week, Judy Arkley, Bill's wife, had a heart attack and is in the hospital now, appears to be in stable condition. Unusual things happen in our lives. Earlier this week, the plant at Lordstown was closed, and for many families, that meant eventual upheaval and questions about how do we provide for ourselves? Where do we go? Life is not always a steady flow from point A to point B. We discover that in spite of believing correctly, if you will, as Christians, that difficult things happen. Earlier this year, a good friend from Florida near St. Pete was out driving with his wife and another couple in the back seat, and he was hit by a car that came at a high speed to the passenger front door and instantly killed his wife. And the lady in the back seat, her back was broken. They hadn't done anything wrong. They were not, if you will, they were not living outside of God's will. But sometimes really challenging things happen, and we have to ask, okay, Lord, what does this mean? And Psalm 91 doesn't give us answers to meaning, but talks to us about how we can live more effectively and experience, even in difficult times, the peace and joy that comes from the Lord's presence. Let me read to you Psalm 91, the first three verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. I want to focus on a couple of items. One, the snare of the trapper, which to me refers to the devil, not to other people, about how sometimes there is a spiritual attack to seek to drive us into bitterness and unbelief and depression when difficult things happen in our lives. In Psalm 91, there are four names of God that are referred to. There are many more in the Bible, but the four here in English are Most High, the Almighty Lord, and My God. And in a minute, I want to talk about what those names mean a little bit. Another parallel passage is Psalm 25, verse 15. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. And my argument to you is that we really just have one enemy. It's the enemy of our souls. It's the devil who would seek to lead us to a place where we feel that we can't trust God when difficult things happen in our lives. So thinking about that for yourself, you have all been at places in your life where it can feel like you're out of control, where you don't know what's going to happen next. What does this mean for my life? Is there some way in which I have been missing God? And the answer to that last question is probably not. It's just that we live in a difficult world. A key benefit of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, as the Psalm talks about, is that he gives us grace to escape those hidden traps. When I am limited because of my circumstance in life, that doesn't mean that I'm out of God's will. It means that I need to find that peace right in the middle of where I am, regardless of what's going to happen tomorrow. And when it talks about the secret place or fortress, it's a safe, secure place that's inaccessible to the enemy. When I am in this place that the Lord has provided near him, then the enemy can't attack me because I'm under his shadow. It's an interesting concept. And here's something to me that is so important to grasp. I love the Old Testament. I have read it more than I've read the New Testament. But Scripture says that the New Covenant, what we have through Jesus, is far greater and is based on better promises than the Old Covenant. Whereas Israel was promised God's conditional protection, as we shared at the beginning of the service, the Lord's covenant is, I want you to do this or not do this. And we say, yes, Lord, but we don't always do what we intend to do. In the Old Covenant, the promises of God are based on God's conditional protection. In the New Covenant, under Jesus, we are promised God's unconditional presence in our lives. Remember, Jesus said, it's better that I go, because the Comforter will come and will abide with you. And that happens when we're born again, when we receive Jesus into our lives. Under the Old Covenant, the people could dwell in God, but in the New Covenant, God dwells in us. There's absolutely no comparison. We are blessed with what revelation we have of the Lord's intention for our lives. And we can trust him because of who he is. One of the ways that God has revealed himself to us is through his name. And I want to share briefly those four different names that are in Psalm 91. First, the Most High. The Hebrew is Elyon, and it means basically that he is all-powerful, can't be overthrown. There cannot be a coup d'etat that throws him off the throne. He created the throne, after all. No one and nothing is stronger. No attack of the enemy. In the gospel reading, the devil tried to have Jesus take a shortcut into the destiny that Father God had for him. But of course, he said no. So there is no greater power anywhere than the Most High God. And the second name that's given is the Almighty, in the shadow of the Almighty. And the Hebrew word there is Shaddai, which means that he is self-sufficient, that everything we need is in him. You don't have to go to another place. He is the provision for every need that we have. By his inherent power, he sustains, protects, and provides for us. When I am facing unrest in my own life, where I'm not sure about tomorrow, this name of God, the Almighty, says that he has everything I need in him. It is innately resident in him. I don't have to fear. Scripture elsewhere says, I've never seen the righteous begging bread. It's a wonderful promise. Through the worst storms of life, he is your protection and your provision. Then the third name will be the most familiar one. It's the Lord. The Hebrew word that is translated Lord is Yahweh. And it means a couple different things. It means that he is the faithful one who makes a covenant with us. This is the name of Father God that he revealed himself to Moses by. When the people ask, who sent you? Tell him, I am that I am, sent you. And so that's central to understanding who the Lord is in our lives. In the English Bible, in almost every case where Yahweh is used, it's translated Lord with all capital letters. You've seen that in the Bible many times, I'm sure. And it's simply a translation trying to say, this is I am that I am. That I am now, I was, and I always will be. And a part of why that is so important for me, if you're at all like me, you have looked at your past and said, how could I do something that stupid or that wrong? And a part of the Lord's name is that he was there, has dealt with that, just as he's dealing with now, and will deal with the future. When we were sharing the Decalogue earlier, I would say, you shall not murder. You said, amen, Lord, have mercy. In other words, we know, we intend, Lord, to be perfect in every way, by thought, word, and deed. But we say, Lord, have mercy, because we know we won't, by thought, word, and deed, conform to his best intentions for us. But he is the one who was there, is here, and will be there. And that, to me, is a great understanding of peace, that I will never be outside of his purview and his protection for my life. And then finally, the fourth one is Elohim, which is it's a plural word that in the book of Genesis, when there's a conversation in heaven, the word we is used. Shall we reveal ourselves? Shall we go down to him? That Hebrew term Elohim, which has within it the implication of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we understand that the fullness of God is with us in just a very powerful way. So we understand that the Lord, in all of his different revelations of himself, is our secret place for protection and renewal. When you are at a place where you are drained, where you're not sure how you're going to get through the next phase in your life, physically, financially, relationally, you have a hiding place that you can go to be with the Lord that refocuses you, a place where the enemy cannot attack you because you are in the presence of the Lord. A part of that for me says that in the same way that Satan wanted to go after Jesus, to take him to a place that the Father God never intended. He wants to take us down bypasses to where we want to go. Rather than shortcuts, they become dead ends. And here are just four simple keys to keep us out of the traps, to keep us in that place where we understand that we're in the shelter of the Almighty. One is that you dwell. Dwelling means I'm making my home. I told you months ago that I have prepared a little place for myself in my bedroom where I have my chair, where I do my morning devotions. It's where I start the day. I want to dwell with God. I want to make sure that as I begin the day, that I begin with him so that no matter what happens, I'm under his shadow, if you will, under his protection. It doesn't mean we always understand the whys of our life, but it means we understand who it is that is in us and provides for us. And then secondly is a really important word, forgive, that of course we forgive other people. Whether they understand that they have offended us or not, of course we forgive. I had mentioned to you months previously as well that early on after my wife's death, as I dealt with that impact on me, one of the things that I did was that I forgave God. Now, obviously, this was not something that he caused, but the impact on me early on affected my walk with the Lord. And so as I forgave him, all of a sudden, I realized that I was back in fellowship. He had not gone anywhere. Paul had. I turned away. He was always there. And as I forgave something that was not needed to be forgiven, I fell right back into the center of his presence and purpose for my life. So dwell, that's an intentional thing we do. Forgiving is an intentional thing that we do toward God and toward others. There are some times in our lives when it feels as though judgment is coming on our lives. Ever been there? Understand that God may be just clearing the way for what's to come. And so we walk in forgiveness without truly understanding the why. And then the third step is prayer, that we continue on a daily basis to have conversation with the Lord. I sometimes do that out loud. I'm alone at home, no one will chuckle, so I sometimes speak to the Lord out loud. It's ongoing prayer that is helpful to me to understand purpose and direction and wisdom, and what does this mean in the Word, God? What's the next step that you have for my life? And then finally, something that you will see throughout the song, throughout the Psalms especially, that is so important. Number four is bless the Lord at all times. Lord, I don't get what's happening in my life. I don't understand how our country could be so misguided in the direction that we're going, where we are leaving our moral foundations. But Lord, I bless you in all things. And I trust that we are in your hands. So, dwell in the Lord. Forgive spiritually as well as toward other people. Pray. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And finally, bless the Lord. You don't understand what's happening in your life, why your children are going in this direction, why your grandchildren are doing this, why your health is deteriorating. Lord, I bless you. I don't get it, but I know that you have a purpose and a future for my life that is beyond my grasp today, but I trust you. So I encourage you to reflect on Psalm 91 for yourself. It's edifying scripture that speaks to the unknown times in our lives. Let's continue our service now with the Nicene Creed. Will you arise? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 3, which can be found in your bulletin on page 7. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, especially Pastor Paul, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others. We especially this morning want to pray for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill, Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Arthur, for Friends of Advent, for Tony, Eliza Jennings residents, Sylvia, and Jack. Let us pray together the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to new every day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another. Good to see you. Yes, I heard. Glad to see you in your seat.
Hi, Bob.
And with you. Joan, God bless you. Yes, ma'am.
Good to see you,
sir. Scott. Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's, things have like three surgeries.
I know.
What is this, a coffee clutch?
It's old homework. Morning.
Coffees.
That's right.
I'm
with you.
Sure.
Did you notice the lack of that hour, that loss of that hour?
Yes, it's hitting.
I set my alarm for 5:30.
Whoa.
I woke up at 4:30, it's terrible.
You only get one piece.
No second helping.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I am Pete Meckes, and I'm here to announce Men's Night Out tomorrow night at the, where is it, Pete? Berea Union Depot at 6:30. So all men are invited, 6:30, Berea Union Depot. Standing in the wings is Denise.
I see two, so I'm not sure. Pastor Paul, are you?
No.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Next Sunday, following the 10 o'clock service, is our next gift event, which is Comfort Must Fall, which is part of the Lion Must Fall series. And, you know, I have a friend here, and when you hear comfort, it kind of makes us all uneasy when someone wants us to give up some part of our comfort zone. But I was thinking of the persecuted Christians. They probably didn't think they were giving up something in their comfort zone when they decide to meet in secret so they don't get murdered by their government or arrested. The people that stood up for slavery in England, in the United States so many years ago, they probably never thought they were giving up comfort, when in fact they did. Anytime we take a step out of our comfort zone to stand up for our beliefs, to stand up for treatment of people that should be just and fair, that should be what God wants, that's all a step out of our comfort zone. Maybe He will call us to go be missionaries in India or Africa. It's possible. That would be a big step out of my comfort zone. But I hope you join us next Sunday to realize that as we work through this with Louis Giglio, who leads this series, that we probably already do step out of our comfort zone at times, one time or another. So I hope you join us to see that it can't be as scary as we anticipate. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. So I mentioned at the 8 o'clock service, as I was driving over here this morning, listening to Moody Radio Cleveland, WCRF, and John Hayden was talking about, he posed a question, and I'd like to pose the question to you because it ties into Paul's sermon this morning about challenges in our lives and God being with us and angels giving charge over us. John Hayden's question was, so what's the one big issue going on in your life right now that's causing you to be full of worry or concern or despondency or is challenging you? What's that one big thing in your life that seems to be huge? And then he said, realize that God is bigger than whatever it is that's bothering you. God is bigger than whatever is on your mind, is causing you to lose peace and confidence in him. And then he followed that little discussion with the song, I Surrender All. So one of the things that is on my mind these days is what's going on in our culture. And the church in Babylon is an attempt to get at that through a godly perspective. One of my associates at MB is also a priest in the Orthodox Church. And he and I were sharing the fact that I was telling him that we were doing this Church in Babylon series, and he's been preaching from, amongst other things, a book by David Horowitz concerning the loss of Christianity in America. And so it's interesting to compare and contrast what's on Bill's heart and what's on our heart here about how to deal with the challenges that are going on in our culture right now. Paul mentioned in his sermon the loss of moral direction in our country. Folks, we have to stand up and be committed Christians and stand firm in our beliefs, because Satan is really doing an outstanding job on us right now in this world. Easter's coming. Flowers, lilies. Sign up, $10 a piece. There will be someone to pray with you and back during communion. Peace.
Let's continue our time together by presenting offerings to the Lord.
Oh,
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after he'd given thanks, he took the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now let's pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with your spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. With joy, depart in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.